By the way, Jim called again last week. It's funny. I have to share this with you. Because he called because he desperately needed the recipe for the Indian tea.
He was in the store. Yeah. Standing in the spice section. He said, I don't know what to buy.
So that was kind of cool. He sent his greetings to it. He got really blessed, so he was very, very thankful to pass on the greetings to everybody again. But they're addicted to the tea, so we've done some good in Jim's life by being here. Yeah.
Bruce's nephew was here last week, and we introduced him to the tea also.
Yeah. So. It's going to be part of our inner sanctum ritual, is this tea thing. It is. This tea thing that we do. It has been for a while.
Sarah and I get together for tea every once in a while. It's always around tea.
Yeah. Acts 20. So today I want to look at the topic of what can I do for you today? In Acts 20, 29, it says, "For I know this." This is Paul when he was teaching on his way. And he said that he knew that after my departing, verse 29, "shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves." I lost my place. Yeah, shelves. "Shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears." So he taught them the word. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel." He didn't do it for monetary gain. He didn't do it to benefit from it. "Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities." He worked to have his needs met. "And to them that were with me, he even met the needs of others while he was working. I have shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Right? Those words aren't recorded anywhere in the Gospels. Right? It's one of those figures that talk about a common saying that was known, and paranomia or something like that. I don't know the exact name, but so he said that Jesus Christ taught that it's more blessed to give than to receive, and that's contrary to all common thinking. People tend to know that it's a blessing to receive. There's hardly anybody that would question that. Yes, love to receive. Jesus Christ taught a little differently than that. He said it's more blessed or happier, you're happier when you give than when you receive. That's what he said. And here Paul wrote, and again, by his example, when he said this, look what he said just before that. He warned them night and day with tears. Even though he could have relied on them to support him, he said, "I didn't do that. I didn't let that happen because it would have hindered the gospel." He says that somewhere else in Thessalonians and Corinthians says that. So he said that he would rather give than have, you know, the gospel be hindered. And then he says, "By the way, don't you remember the words of Jesus?" He said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." There's an attitude of heart that we would do well to take heed to. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So I got to thinking of that song we used to hear all the time. I used to play it in the mornings. I don't even know who sang that song. It's from the 60s. Do you know the name of the guy who sang that? "What Can I Do For You Today?" Oh. "Good Morning, Lord," the song is called, right? And the words are, "Good morning, Lord, what can I do for you today?" is the expression. The general thinking in society, you know, in this society of selfies, is, what can I get out of this? What's in it for me? How do I take care of number one? You know, what's my share? Jesus Christ said, it's more blessed to give, right, than to receive. Jesus Christ taught that, and Paul obviously took heed to it in his ministry. He did that for these people, just so they could get God's word. Look at Matthew chapter 20. It's a great attitude of heart to live this way. That song, you know, What Can I Do For You Today? It's an attitude of getting up and looking forward to the day to find ways to bless others. And the others, number one on the list of others, is God. What can I do for you today? In verse 20 of 2020, this will give us clear vision. Verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these two, my sons, may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy on the left in thy kingdom. She wanted them to have a good position. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, because I'm not God. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father, who, by the way, is God. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Why? Because they were so giving? No, probably because they wanted that position. I don't know, it doesn't say. But Jesus called them and unto him and said, You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. So in the world of the nations, when you have bosses and CEOs and CFOs and CTOs and, you know, you name it, right? There are all these. The higher up you go, the higher up position exercises dominion or lordship over the lower position. That's the way the world works. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. That's how it works. But it shall not be so among you. As always, Jesus Christ's opinion of what was going on in the world was different. We just heard it, and Paul said most people don't understand that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And here Jesus Christ said, well, this is what the world is doing, but that's not what I want you to do. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. So the higher up you go, the more you're to serve. That's what he said. The more the higher position you have, the greater your service is supposed to be. What can I do for you today, God? And whosoever, verse 27, will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as a son of man, he says, look, by the way, even as me, the son of man, he said, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. What a great heart of service Jesus Christ had. And he said to them, yeah, you might be seeking positions, but when you want a position, boy, you're not really understanding what you're getting yourself into. You want that position? Be prepared to work harder than all the people that in this particular case, are under you, so to speak, or you have dominion over. You work harder than them, or you're supposed to work harder than them. Again, contrary to the world's thinking, where receiving is better and being the boss is better, where Jesus Christ said, not so much. It is better, but from a different point of view. And that's because you can serve greater. Look at Romans chapter 12. Jesus Christ came to serve. That's what he said. I came to serve, and he said that I expect you to do the same. Remember the record? We're not going to read it in John when the Last Supper, what did he do for them? He washed their feet, and he asked them, do you know what I've done for you? Do you understand? And he said, you ought to do the same for one another. Learning an attitude of service, an attitude of giving. Not, what can I get out of this, but what can I do for you? And you being God, but that translates to us loving one another. What can I do for you? in Romans chapter 12. And here this section here talks about a lot of different ways of serving. And because people, I think, sometimes think, I don't have the ability to serve. I don't really have anything to give. You know, I don't, you know, what can I possibly do to serve somebody? People undervalue themselves quite a bit. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, we've read this before, I imagine. I guess we could say that about any verse in the Bible at this point. 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. After all that's written in Romans chapters 1 through 8, which we looked at earlier last year, all that written about what Jesus Christ has done for us, you know, and there's a lot there, the response, the logical, reasonable response is to serve. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, which would think receiving is better and having a position is better than being below it. Don't be conformed to that thinking. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And the greater in responsibility you have, the greater service you must have in life. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in the body, we have many members, and all members have not the same office. There's a lot of people in the body of Christ, they don't all have the same office. Remember it says in Corinthians that God, who placed the members in the body, as it that pleased him? God did. And he also says that every member is a member in particular. You think that God doesn't know you exist? Do you think God doesn't understand you and know who you are? He placed you there. And if he understands not a sparrow falls to the ground without him knowing about it, how about you placed in the body of Christ just where he wanted you placed? That's what it says. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. There's an impact. Everything I do has an impact on you. Everything you do has an impact on me. That's how the body works. That's how it was intended to work. So if you think you have no impact on the body of Christ, you're mistaken. If you don't do what God calls you to do, you will have a negative impact on the body of Christ. That's the way it works. If I decide to start, you know, bad-mouthing everybody in the fellowship here or Jesus Christ in general and go around, that's going to have an impact. Same thing with you. If you do that, it's going to have an impact. And everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. Well, that's what God has called you to do, or that's what you're particularly good at. He says, do that. We're not going to sit back and say, well, I don't have anything to give. Well, or ministry, verse 7, let us wait in our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. See, all these things that are able or responsibilities within the body of Christ that each member can have, God says, do them. Get, you know, more blessed to give than to receive. That will not change ever. It's always more blessed to give than to receive. Verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. What can I do for my brothers and sisters? God, what can I do for you? Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving who? The Lord. By doing this, you serve who? You see, by serving one another and serving, we serve God. We serve God directly, and we serve the Lord Jesus Christ also. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who are, even though you might be helping a brother, your service ultimately is to Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, there's no biblical reason for any member in the body of Christ to limit what they can do. Because is it the same Christ in every believer? Does every believer have the same potential to serve as any other believer? Was Paul the Apostle born with a special blessing on his life? No. He chose to believe God. He could have, didn't he go the other way for a while? Maybe killing Christians for a while? He said, I gave my voice against them, caused them to be beaten, committed them to prison. You know, and he, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what he had done, but he chose to go this way. What about men in the Bible? It's not your ability. Yeah, we all have natural abilities. People are good at one thing or another. People are good at, you know, they have certain natural abilities. Not natural necessarily. Maybe they've developed them over the years. One person is good at one thing, one person. Yeah, that's all in the five senses realm. But God's ability in us is not any different that we have access to. When Moses was called to serve God, did God leave Moses? Did he leave him? What was Moses' first response? Yeah, I'll do whatever. No, it's not what he said. He said, I can't do this. I can't speak. I'm sorry, I can't do this. No, find somebody else. God said, no, I want you, Moses. And you know the record. You know the record of Moses. But in the end, did God leave him? No. He was with him until he was buried. God even buried him because they didn't want his bones to be found by anybody else. How about Joseph? God called Joseph. No, God worked with Joseph all the way. He didn't leave him alone. Was Joseph so well trained in his ability to take care of people or to take care of, you know, people's homes and take care of prisons and to run countries? That wasn't the course that Jacob had instructed him in while he was tending sheep. By the way, if you happen to come in charge of a country, this is how you... No. That's not what happened, right? No. Who worked with him? Who taught him? Showed him how to take care of the responsibility he had been given? God did. God didn't leave Joseph. How about Joshua? Right? Instructed him, had him, helped him to walk into the promised land, helped him how to take care of, and anytime there was a problem, what did Joshua do? God, what's going on? We were supposed to win this battle. What happened? Well, there's this thing you weren't supposed to do, Joshua, and somebody among you did this thing, took care of it, victory. God worked with him. How about David? David make mistakes? Yeah. How about Paul the Apostle? Paul make mistakes? God never left his people alone. So if you think you haven't got the ability, you're probably right. But the ability of God in Christ in you, it supersedes all that, as long as you want to choose to believe it. And then you get busy giving because it's more blessed to give than to receive. In 1 Thessalonians 2:1, for yourselves know, brethren, how our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. There was a lot against them when they were trying to speak the word here. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. They had no ulterior motives to teach the word there. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. See, he lived his life before God. For neither at any time used we flattering words, or as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory. See, all these things that he's talking about can be reasons why people do the things they do. Paul said, we didn't do it for any of those reasons. I didn't seek anything, didn't want anything. Neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. They could have, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, I love this verse, but also our own souls. He gave everything he possibly could. And 1 Corinthians 9 is a good, if you read that, about what he did to preach the gospel. It's a great example of that. All things to all men, whatever it took to reach somebody. Today it seems like people do whatever it takes to avoid reaching somebody. You know, and there Paul did whatever it took to reach somebody. Because you were dear unto us. For you remember brethren, our labor and travail. Labor, travail, for laboring night and day. Does this sound like somebody who was in a top position? Paul was pretty much, you know, the guy at this time, running basically the churches. And yet, who was working harder than anybody? That's what it says. Laboring night and day. And this time here, he did this here, even though he didn't necessarily have to do this, because he said it would not be chargeable unto any of you. They could have supplied his need in that particular case. They could have, but he was more concerned about the gospel. And I love that. That is great heart of service towards God, because he wanted to make sure he could do whatever he could to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We preach unto the gospel of God, for you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So he's talking about mother and fathering, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. What's the purpose of doing all that work? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Their purpose was that those people would believe God's word. How many of us believe that we have the capacity to do the same thing that he did? To help people. And I look at the kids, especially, you know, they're young. Oh, what can I do? Well, how much of God's word do you know? How can you help somebody else believe to the point they go to God and they see effectual results? A lot of times people go to God's word, and I know we all do it, and we're all guilty of it, I think. I'll speak for myself. When we go to God in prayer, it's there's this need, I have this need, or you know, I might have this need, or somebody else has this need. That's fine. God says you can talk to him about all that, no question. That's not, I'm not saying it's evil. How about going to God in prayer? God, what can I do for you today? Is there a situation that I need to get involved with? Is there something that you would like me to take care of, that you want me to do for you? And just spending time with him and talking to him about what he wants you to do today, as opposed to what you would like him to do for you today, which is probably the, you know, bulk of a lot of Christians' lives, prayer lives. And realistically, you know, which way do we want to go? Do we want to stay there, or do we want to go towards what Jesus Christ said, where it's more blessed to give than to receive, and that we have this wonderful responsibility and privilege to be able to serve in the body of Christ in so many capacities anywhere. And you could be, you know, by yourself somewhere in the world. It doesn't matter. You're not limited. That's all. God is not limited by you or your circumstances. Not at all. Nor are you limited by your circumstances. We're only limited by what we choose to believe from God's word. Look at Romans chapter 10. So in that particular case in Thessalonians, the end result of all that labor and day and night and giving their souls was the Thessalonians were able to believe God's word and see it work in their lives. And then later on, you remember Paul writing and saying, I sent Timothy to make sure everything was okay. You're still believing God. We looked at that too. You know, they're still standing. That's wonderful. That was the whole point. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We all know that verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no, we heard that in the manifestations today, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Talking about more blessed to give. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. If you want to have pretty feet, you know, people buy shoes of all kinds all the time, right? Socks, funky socks. These days, mismatched socks are the thing, I think. you want to have pretty feet, preach God's word. You know, we think we can't serve. Well, how much do you know of God's word? Here, this seems like it's a simple thing for God to have recorded in something that is the seven church epistles. He says, well, if somebody's going to believe, they can't really believe if they don't know about it, and they can't really know about it if they haven't heard about it. You think that's logical. It is. It's your reasonable service. If you know God's word, it's logical for us to teach that to somebody else. It's logic. It's reasonable. And here he gives a reasonable argument. Well, if you don't do it, no one's going to hear. And they don't hear. They can't believe. They haven't got eternal life. Pretty simple. You know, it's not hard for us to give in the body of Christ. We can preach God's word. Remember that record in the Old Testament? I love that record. The four lepers. When they were, you know, everybody was in famine, and they said, what was the question? They said, what are we sitting around here for until we die? That's what they said. Why sit we here until we die? They chose to take an action on what in that particular case it was to go and visit the enemy. Yeah, basically. Not easy thing to do. They went and they said, their logic was great, right? We're going to sit here, we're going to die. If we go to the enemy, we're probably going to die anyway. But if they got food, maybe we'll live. Right? So, and they went, and all of Israel got blessed. What about taking the action of what God works in you to do, and to willing to do for His good pleasure? Right? Do you, you know what? Sometimes I think we really limit and don't understand what it is that we've been given, and we let the world talk us out of the blessing of what we have to give. You have so much to give this world. And the world so badly needs it. Oh, something, I was talking about the garage sale we had yesterday. Some of the stories I hear about people and their families and what's going on, and you know, you go, oh my goodness. You know, one guy I was talking with, I said, you know, we're talking about a situation that they sought counsel of any sort, and I said, no. And he said it's a really tough world. The way he put it, he goes, this world is really hard to grow up in. That's what he said. This world is really hard to grow up in. Yep, without the Lord, it sure is. You know, so many other religions are into teaching about self. You know, I was thinking about how a lot of religions are into developing your mind or developing your presence of peace, or you go up in a mountain and meditate, and so you can just develop yourself, and you can be this orb that floats around the world and no one can touch, like Kwai Chang Kane and Kung Fu or something like that, you know? No one knows what I'm talking about. All the kids go, well, Dad, what are you talking about? Jesus Christ came to teach something completely different. It's nice to have peace on top of a mountain. It's nice to have peace on a river. Or is that peace like a river? I don't know. But it's a lot harder to have peace in the midst of that world, which this man that I spoke to said, it's really hard to grow up in this world. And that's the peace that Jesus Christ came to give. And that's the peace you've got. And that's the peace that they want. And that's the peace that they need. You've got it. And so to share that with somebody, to show them, you don't have to be, you're of this world, you know, you're in this world, but you don't have to be of this world. You don't have to live there anymore. You can come up on, you know, God's mountain, which is a better place to be. And 1 Corinthians 13 talks about where Paul says, you know, though I give my body to be burned and have not love. You can get on the other side of the pendulum is where you get so involved in service that all, you know, you want to do this, I got to do this, and I got to run this fellowship and want to do this and do that. And he said, you do all that and you don't have love, you know, it's not worth anything. Now that whole thing goes this way. The pendulum goes this way. We're one side where people sit around and they never want to do anything for the Lord. The other side where you go and, you know, everything is about what other busy activity can I get involved with, to the point you get burned out. They're somewhere in the middle where this is a wonderful place that God wants us to be, where we can serve with love and have it be profitable and have it be a blessing. Doesn't mean it's not hard work. But it means the blessing, and it's the way God designed it to work. In Matthew chapter 10, a couple more verses. So loving, you know, Paul writes that thing in Thessalonians. You think he didn't have great love for those people? But his love for those people came about as a result of God's great love for him, because he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. and then his great love for God, and then the natural outcourse of all that is love for his people. And that allowed him to, he said, labor more abundantly than they all. He allowed them to work really hard, but in a place where it was where God intended to be, not to be, get his body burned out and be burned out, but to serve and to see the blessings. In you have so much to serve. Matthew 10 verse 1, when he had called onto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. The names of the 12 apostles are these, and he goes through all them down verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. In this particular case, it was a ministry to Israel. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is what Jesus told them to do. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. By the way, raise the dead. If you happen to have a situation, just raise the dead. It wasn't anything more different than preaching the word. He said, tells them to go out, preach the word. See, you have, what can you serve with? Well, it's the same thing they served with. They went out and taught God's word. We saw in Romans, God said, you know, if you don't teach, they're not going to hear. Then here he tells them, by the way, preach the word, and then if you need to have situations that arise, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. It wasn't some like, okay, I'm going to go into this 6-month, you know, really in-depth mysteries of all this. He just said, okay, you got the word and you have the spirit. We have the word and we have the spirit of God. How many, actually, you know, did you ever sit down someday, anybody who's been born again and for a while, and say, could I raise someone from the dead? I'm sure we've thought about it. How actively do we think about that? How actively do we think about being able to cleanse lepers? How actively do we think about it? Here it says, look, and what's this is the second part of the verse I wanted to get to. Verse 8 says, freely ye have received, freely give. So he told them to go out and freely give. You have so much to give. You've got the Word of God, we've got the Word of God, and we've got the Spirit of God. We can serve without knowing anything more for the rest of our lives, very actively, very successfully. But the desire to serve is something that we have to have. It's not something that, you know, you just comes to you. You have to have the desire. I have to have the desire to serve. I have to look for opportunities to serve. But if I don't even think about it, if I think, well, what am I? All the excuses, you can go down the chain. Well, the Word of God, should I ever limit God's ability in me? It's not my ability. I know it says there, you know, they did the miracles, but why were the miracles possible? Because of what the power God had wrought in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's why they were possible. It wasn't the people's ability. They just said, okay, well, we're going to do this thing. We'll just... So he says to them, I love the nonchalant way it's written. By the way, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Okay. Anything else? Any questions? I'm sure they were all sitting there going, okay. You know, there's no record here of them saying, oh, wait a minute, that's not... What'd they do? They went out and did exactly what he told them to do. We'll close in Galatians chapter 5. You have the ability to bring deliverance to people's lives. You know, you have the ability. You don't have to go somewhere else. You talk to somebody who has got a need. Whatever it is, you have the ability to give, because Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So let's give. Let's give people God's word. Let's give them deliverance. Galatians 5:13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We're to serve. God has called us to serve. Jesus Christ came as an example of one who was a servant. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And we've been enabled to serve by having been given God's word and the Spirit of God. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did when he was here. He spoke the Word of God, and he brought deliverance by the Spirit of God. So it's a simple ministry. Preach the Word and bring deliverance by the Spirit of God. And to wake up every morning to say, okay, God, what can I do for you today? And what a great way to just be very open to having God work with us. And yeah, sure, we might have needs, and that's fine. We can talk to him and say, Father, look, I know I have a particular need in this area, or I know somebody who has a need. I want to bring it to your attention because your word says that we're allowed to intercede for one another. It says that, right? And we're allowed to ask him and talk to him, whatever you need, that's fine. But what about the other side of it? You know, when you get to the point where, yeah, okay, that's good. Now, because once you've prayed and asked for something, you leave it with him, right? You don't take it back. So now that burden is off your mind, and the next step can be, okay, now what can I do for you today? Right, so...